SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Welcome in the Bizarro World, people. The best hour of your day now officially underway. Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside here on a solo mission. Can't wait to get after it. And also, talk about what happened last night. We'll start with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. We'll eventually get to this weekend's Sunday NFL slate, picking out some bad defenses that we want to pick on and have some fun with. But if you are watching the show on Sports Grid on demand on YouTube, the best way to reach out, certainly scour the chat box here. Everybody's been fantastic there. If you want to follow along and watch Sports Grid on demand on YouTube, get in there, hit the subscribe button, have some fun, talk to us. And also, if you're listening on Sirius XM Channel 159, fantastic. SportsGridRadio.com, awesome. SportsGrid.com, fantastic. And on the Sports Grid app, the best app in the sports business. If you haven't downloaded it yet, what are you waiting for? You can follow your favorite hosts right here on the Sports Grid Network, which includes your boy DRS. And your boy DRS is ready to go today. Why? Angry from last night. The Pittsburgh Steelers entered that game 8-2 against the Cleveland Browns. The Browns entered that game at home 2-8, fresh off of getting absolutely smashed in their past two games. Jameis Winston finishes with 18 of 27, no touchdown passes, and an interception, and the Cleveland Browns won that football game. It was actually fun to watch, even though I did end up losing some money last night because David Njoku apparently can't make any catches, and Jordan Atkins is the new tight end number one, so is Blake Whitehart. But look, as I digress. Most parts of this game, here's the issue I have with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's always apparent, and sometimes it bleeds over to what the Kansas City Chiefs do as well. Say, Donnie, what do you mean by that? Not being aggressive when you should be aggressive all the way through. It was clear in that game you had an advantage with Russell Wilson at quarterback. But what did you open up the game 10 of 10? And instead, while the field was nice, they continued to pound their heads into a brick wall and run the football up the middle. How many times did you watch last night on third and short and fourth and short a slow developing handoff up the middle that went absolutely nowhere and lost yards repeatedly? It didn't make any sense. And then when you actually had the lead in the fourth quarter, you couldn't get the stop here against Jameis Winston in Cleveland. Now, were there some bad foot calls in this game? Yes. Did George Pickens probably get a pass interference down the sideline that wasn't called? Yes, that happens. But the one that was egregious, which should have been called, was an intentional grounding penalty on that game-winning drive for Cleveland. Jameis Winston was in the pocket, threw a flutter ball into the line where no wide receivers were, and his offensive lineman actually tried to catch it. And they just caught an illegal touching, which then moved the football back. You saw the conversion for Cleveland when it should have been technically a sack and a loss of downs on the Cleveland Browns. But that ends up in a loss, 24-19. And again, the Pittsburgh Steelers, why are you just not staying aggressive when you should? When you can have the pedal to the metal, you let other teams hang around like the Cleveland Browns, who are dead in the water on the season, and cost yourself that football game. And also, how about some of the calls, which I have told you guys, I completely agree with. Justin Fields in the football game on short yardage situations absolutely makes sense. But Justin Fields in the game to throw deep fly patterns to George Pickens when you know that's what Russell Wilson does the best, that doesn't make any sense. Mike Tomlin is a legendary head coach, but sometimes he makes absolutely no sense in the decision he makes. How about at the end of the first half? You have a timeout, you let Cleveland run an extra 40 seconds off the clock before you got the football back. And then the very time you get the ball back, after they score, there's 40 seconds to go, and you have a timeout. Nice ball to Freiermuth over the middle, which gets you out to about midfield. And instead of running up and spiking the football and or calling a timeout, Russ runs a play and basically throws it out of bounds, wasting even more time. It's Sometimes I feel like, and you guys know me, I say this. As a fan base at the NFL draft, I can guarantee you right now, if you just give the fan base the first round pick of the franchise, they will outdraft the franchise 9 out of 10 times on that round one pick. Why? Because they're not going to do anything foolish and overestimate and take things out of whack. The crowd, they will take the best player available, and that's what you're supposed to do. And sometimes I just think like, hey guys, it's 4th and 1. Fan base, let me crowdsource this. What would you like to do? Would you like to have Justin Fields in the game, run a read option, which gives you a pulling guard off the edge where you have a legitimate chance for him to put his head down and get the first down or hand off? Or how about a slow developing draw play that never has any chance with Justin Fields and he gets tackled in the backfield on 4th down, an abysmal play call? Or how about this one? Guys, it's 4th and inches here. What would you like to do? Fullback dive up the middle, quick hitting play, handoff, which goes off of tackle, or how about a slow developing deep handoff that goes right up the middle that loses yards? It's unbelievable. The execution of some of these plays is half the battle. The calling of some of these plays absolutely made zero sense. But the Browns pick up the victory. They're going nowhere. They only hurt their draft status, and the Pittsburgh Steelers had me left scratching my head. When you watched that game in the first half and you knew the weather was going to get worse as the night progressed in the first half, clean slate, light winds, Mike Tomlin kicking 58-yard field goals, which is absolutely egregious. And then when you wait to finally get aggressive, it's in the snow. And you took the lead. And your vaunted defense could not get a stop in that second half to end the game. Steelers lose 24-19. Embarrassing effort all the way through, which again, this wasn't a layup game because that line was 3.5 to 3 all day long yesterday. You knew there was going to be windy conditions. And the one thing you can do with the Steelers is you run the football better than Cleveland. You had the advantage. But instead of staying aggressive and getting the lead in the first half, you were losing in the first half 10-3. Kicked the field goal in the third quarter. It was 10-6. And by the way, pour a little bit out for the people yesterday who bet the under in that football game. You had no points at the end of the first quarter when the track was clean. You had 13 points at the half. Then the snow picked up in the third quarter, and there were only 3 points. That game was 10-6 at the end of the third quarter. 16 points. You had 3 touchdown cushions in the fourth quarter of an absolute snowstorm, snow globe, Armageddon, it looked like out there. And they scored 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. That's crazy talk, because we even talked about it on the set last night. The way you actually should have been playing this game, taking the total to the over in the first half and betting the under in the second half. And it went completely opposite. Now, my wagers yesterday, you know me. Yesterday, right on this show, I said my favorite bet in this game, I got to get it underway, let the people know, and tweet it out immediately, was Jaylen Warren over 12.5 receiving yards. He finished that game with 3 for 19. He actually got the winning bet, or excuse me, winning catch on the final drive of the game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So it took a long time to cash in. The other player that I played, it almost burned myself because I was looking at Pat Freiermuth, who usually is the number one tight end, but 3 straight games under 20 yards receiving. I decided to take a shot with Darnell Washington to go over 10.5 receiving yards. 3 for 14 for him, which I believe late, he also got that number. Do you know where I missed? From a Cleveland side, I wasn't looking at Nick Chubb's touchdowns. I wasn't looking at Nick Chubb's yards, which he had 20 carries for 59, went over the pregame total. I wasn't looking at Winston to throw a touchdown pass necessarily. He didn't. I wasn't looking for Winston to go over 175, which I thought about taking. It was David Njoku, who has been really, really good over the past couple weeks with Jameis Winston. 1 catch, 9 yards in the first half. I just needed 35 yards, and we hit that 6-1 parlay. It didn't happen for you, boy. Oh, well, we regroup. Because you know what? It's a Football Friday in the Sports Grid Network. We're getting you set for this weekend's football action. I'm Donnie Wrightside. This is Moneyline, and we'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get to some information that's just coming out here from Adam Schefter. How about this? The first Thursday night flex, week 16 Denver at the Los Angeles Chargers, will move to Thursday night. And they're going to bounce out the Browns and the Bengals, which I agree with. It's a better football game. However, here's where the NFL does some teams dirty. You guys know me. You know how my mind thinks. That could be a massive game for either one of the Broncos or the Chargers to make the playoffs. We understand that. That's why they're flexing it. Two good football teams, two teams probably battling for a playoff spot. And maybe, who knows, even battling for an NFC West championship if you see that the Kansas City Chiefs are faltering, which, again, I don't think so. But let's play devil's advocate here. You got to be kidding me from a Denver Broncos perspective. In the NFL, what do you look for when the schedule comes out? Is your team going to get saddled with three straight road games? It's almost impossible to run the gauntlet no matter who you play on three straight road games. You're exhausted by the end of it. The other one that I've looked at for decades now is where and who, if you play on Thursday night. Brutalness. If the Denver Broncos, and again, this game was supposed to be played on a Sunday. It's still hard to win football games in the NFL on the road. We get that. It's twice as hard to win those road games on a Thursday night. Sometimes you can get away with it early in the season, and you've heard me talk about it ad nauseum. Eagles, Washington, just get on a train. Giants, Washington, just get on a train. Giants, Philadelphia Eagles, get on a train. You see the point here? Staying in the Northeast, staying close to each other. Maybe the Detroit Lions take on the Chicago Bears. Not a long travel at that point. Cleveland Browns take on the Detroit Lions. You see where I'm going with this one? But the fact that now you have the Denver Broncos got to get on a plane and fly out to Los Angeles on a short work week like that, that is a terrible, terrible move here. Good for NFL fans, horrendous for the Denver Broncos, and completely unfair to do that to them. It's completely unfair. Now, unless I'm not digging in deeper where the Denver Broncos have a bye week that week, which I'm assuming they don't in week 16 of the NFL season. Bye weeks are probably done by then, so I didn't go into it that deep. But just looking at it on its face, great move for the fans. We'll be live in studio on Pro Football Today to be talking about that game. It'll be great to watch it. But from a Denver Broncos perspective, that is the worst case scenario they could possibly have. Shout out to the chat box. My guy Jordan's out there. Akbar's out there. Information trading back and forth. Jump in here. Sports Grid on demand on YouTube. Almost 7,000 subscribers now. Hit the subscribe button. Come in here and talk your piece. You got a hot play? Give it to me. You got a flame shot? Give it to me. You mad at Mike Tomlin last night? Give it to me here in the chat box. It's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. But I just wanted to take that breaking information and share my thoughts on the Denver Broncos getting shafted by getting their game moved on the road from a Sunday to a Thursday. Now, let's start to set the table for this weekend's action. Similar to what we do in Major League Baseball, you know the way I like to get down. There are games we're going to take advantage of, and I will have team totals this weekend if we find some that are appropriate. I'll get into those a little bit later today when I have some time to sort of go through things with a fine-tooth comb, see those final Friday practice reports, which are so important. Last week, we went 3-0 on team totals. I'm hoping we can do the same thing. Maybe we get three more team totals to activate this weekend. Maybe we get two. Maybe we only get one. Maybe we get none. We just don't fire willy-nilly. If the action is there, we will take it. But in this instance, I wanted to focus on the bad defenses in the NFL because that's really what you want to get after. Worst defense in the NFL right now, is it any surprise, guys? It's the Carolina Panthers. I'm looking at some Pro Football Focus numbers on the season. Worst defense in the league. Rush defense, terrible. Not a great tackling team. Pass rush, absolutely abysmal. And an average cover team on the back end. You know who they're playing this weekend, right? It's the Kansas City Chiefs. Fresh off a loss to the Buffalo Bills. That's one to keep an eye on. It's circled right now. And we're going to take a quick little preview on that in just a little bit. But I want to set up those defenses that we're trying to fade. Number two, how about this? Two of the worst five defenses on the season are going to play each other this weekend. The Dallas Cowboys and the Washington Commanders. This is an interesting one because you look at that Dallas Cowboys offense, same thing in Major League Baseball. Just because you have a tomato can on the mound, you need batters that can line up and demolish that tomato can on the mound. You just can't run any simple Joe out there to get base knocks. It has to make sense. So if you're saying right now, the Washington Commanders are a bottom five defense overall, Can the Dallas Cowboys and Cooper Rush exploit that? They have one player. It's CeeDee Lamb. Rico Dowdle, horrendous tailback. Tight end position, average at best with Ferguson with a concussion. Who even knows if he's playing? Tolbert at wide receiver? Cooper Rush going to go for 50 times in this game for 300-plus yards and multiple touchdowns? That's a tough one. You wish that that defense wasn't wasted on that offense for the Cowboys. But in the same game, you know what else is bad? The Dallas Cowboys defense. And what type of bounce-back performance are we going to get for the Washington Commanders? And Jaden Daniels, that rib injury, that cartilage injury, that oblique, whatever he has. I wonder if that is going to be fine, and there's no quicker heal than playing a bad defense like the Dallas Cowboys. So the first three defenses that will be fadeable this weekend, Carolina, Dallas, and Washington. The other two teams that will certainly be fadeable, those Las Vegas Raiders, the worst coverage team in the NFL by a wide margin. You know who's starting to throw the football well? You know who's starting to come on at wide receiver? Cam Sutton, Bo Nix. How about a little Vele at wide receiver there? Bo Nix on the road at Las Vegas. Look at that total. It's only 41. Sean Payton is from that Andy Reid school of thought. You throw the football to get the lead. You run it to close out the game. Bo Nix and that offense have been aggressive all season long throwing the football. This is a team you want to key on that absolutely can't stop the pass. That's the Vegas Raiders. We should be getting points in that game. Even though it's a rookie quarterback on the road, Bo Nix has thrown enough passes to be a sophomore, junior, or senior at this point if he was in college. Schooled all the way through in a dome, no worries about snowflakes, no worries about rain, anything like that. The final defense, the fade, that's actually been playing much better as of late, but on a season-long number, it's the Arizona Cardinals versus the Seattle Seahawks, fresh off a victory over the San Francisco 49ers. Let's continue to talk more football right here on a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Friday, people. And by the way, we do have a Saturday college football card. Just taking a look here at the top 25 games here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Does start tonight. UNLV, number 23 in the country, taking on San Jose State. Yeah, good luck with that game. Your boy DRS isn't watching that one. By the way, shout out to everybody out there in the chat box hanging in with us, too. X-Man just showed up there. C-Bills as well. Living life, having some fun, talking some sports. That's what it's all about. Miami, the Hurricanes, 23.5-point favorites against Wake Forest at home. Yeah, your boys loves the Hurricanes, not checking into that game. Which brings us to the big noon kickoff. The Indiana Hoosiers and the Ohio State Buckeyes. This line has absolutely been plummeting here over this past week. 13.5, 12.5, 11.5, now down to 10.5 right now. 10.5. In the shoe. Weather conditions, a little bit chilly. As you saw last night in Cleveland, times are changing here. Yes, eventually we do have to get to winter here on the Rust Belt and the East Coast. And it looks like it's finally starting to settle in. Which side are you guys going with in that game? Is it Indiana who hasn't played anybody? Is it Ohio State in the shoe, which is so damn tough to beat? If Indiana pulls off this upset, massive respect to them. Because yes, they've been playing good football against really bad football teams. This is a massive step up against a great defense. And that line is not trusting the Ohio State Buckeyes at all. It really isn't. Touchdown scoring market in this game. Jeremiah Smith, fantastic young wide receiver. Minus 155. Quinshon Judkins, talented running back for the Buckeyes. Minus 135. Also another running back for the Buckeyes. Travion Henderson at plus 100. Egbuka at plus 115. Then you finally start to see Justice Ellison tap in for Indiana at a plus 130 price. You know my guy. Where's he at? Will Howard plus 155? It's probably where I'm looking there in that direction. You know me. Who gets it, though? Like, who's the touchdown scorers there? I don't think you can go wrong with a Jeremiah Smith, Judkins, Henderson. But I always like to get that plus money. Like, playing minus 155. A lot of these running backs and a lot of these wide receivers who are talented are much more pricey than what we're getting out of this game. Let's see what Indiana has. But I love the fact that that game is being played at noon. And if anybody in the chat box, your C-Bills, have to go OSU, especially if he gets to 10 or under. Yeah, I agree with that here. X-Man said it's snowing in Jersey. Yeah, I'm not outside, X-Man. I'm gonna have to. Should I take the microphone outside and check it? I know it's cold weather. Driving home last night around 1 a.m. Nasty. And by the way, we haven't had any rain in the Northeast, like any, you know, measurable rain since August. We finally got it yesterday. People forgot how to drive. People absolutely forgot how to drive in the rain. It was madness out there on the turnpike driving into the studio. Knock it off, people. You never saw rain before? Ridiculous. SMU, number 13 in the country, taking on Virginia, a double-digit favorite on the road. SMU lining up for a possible appearance in the ACC championship game. How about Ole Miss, still fighting for a playoff spot, going to take on Florida and DJ Lagway, who won last week when he was on one leg against LSU in the Swamp. So Swamp part two in this one, total listed at 55.5. And always my favorite part of the season in the SEC where some of these teams like, hey, Georgia, in the heart of SEC play, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, we're taking on UMass at home at Sanford Stadium and laying 42.5 points. Get out of here. Tennessee, how about this one? Tennessee and Georgia played last week. Tennessee's like, yeah, we need a layup this week. How about UTEP at home on Rocky Top as 39.5 point favorites? Get out of town, man. BYU, Arizona State, two ranked teams here in the top 25, with Arizona State, one of those outside chances to shake it up and get into the Big 12 playoff game, or excuse me, Big 12 championship game, and win that. BYU, back-to-back weeks, odd lines here as they're getting 3.5 points on the road from Arizona State. A lot of people sharp on Arizona State this weekend in this action. Colorado and Kansas, watch out. Kansas with a big victory last week, now taking on Colorado at home. Only minus 2.5 for the Buffaloes and a total of 59.5. Texas taking on Kentucky, number 3 in the nation, 3-touchdown favorite over Kentucky. But what happened to Kentucky season? Penn State, double-digit favorites on the road to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. That line, 11.5 in a total, always lovely, 45.5. Washington State, Oregon State, nobody cares. How about this one? Army, Notre Dame, from the Bronx, Yankee Stadium, 45.5 total. Army, unbeaten on the season, can they keep it close? The issue that you always have here is, and Mark Zeno brought up a great point earlier in the week, Notre Dame is used to playing service academies and the triple option. They'll understand what's coming, but at the same time, Notre Dame should dominate on offense and defensive lines in this game. And look for my guy, Riley Leonard. Anytime touchdown, meet my boy Love. Anytime touchdown on the ground, yeah, it's happening. Decent college football card, but we're going back to the NFL next. Let's get some winners. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
News breaking right now. New York Giants. Ari Miroff reporting, Jordan Schultz reporting. The Giants are releasing Daniel Jones, sources tell NFL on Fox. How about that? Daniel Jones out of a job. Now, you saw yesterday, as we got a good kick out of where Daniel Jones was talking about, hey, thanks, you know, now I'm the fourth-string quarterback. I'm not allowed to practice or play. And Kevin and I were having a good time yesterday on Game Time Decisions in studio talking about that very same thing. What's going on with the Giants? Like, because if you practice and you get injured, you would be on the hook then if he doesn't, you know, pass through his, what's the word I'm looking for? Not conditions, not waivers, not inspection. I'm at a loss for words right now. What is it? What's the word I'm looking for? Pass your checkup or whatever. It'll come to me in a second. You guys know what I'm talking about here. Injury clearance, per se. So he's released, which... this is interesting to me. Like, where does he go? And also the contract ramifications, because typically you're supposed to wait and then maybe a post-June 1, like, cut to maximize it. I guess there's nothing restrictive there where they'd accelerate the salary cap any more than just releasing him at the end or after the season when it does end. So he's being released. So let me just take a look here. Let's look at the NFL landscape for Daniel Jones here. Let's see here. Bills don't need a quarterback this season. Dolphins don't. Patriots don't. I mean, the Jets technically do, but, I mean, come on. They ain't getting Daniel Jones across the street. The Dallas Cowboys? The Cowboys would actually make some sense if Daniel Jones goes there, to be honest. He's way better than Cooper Rush. Could he go to the Giants? From the Giants to the Dallas Cowboys? Obviously, Eagles don't need him. Commanders don't need him. Ravens don't. Bengals don't. The Cleveland Browns don't. They got Jameis. Pittsburgh doesn't. Chicago Bears won't get him. Detroit won't. Green Bay won't. Minnesota doesn't need him. Texans don't need him. Colts don't need him. Jaguars, depending on how long Trevor Lawrence is down. Tennessee Titans, doubt they would make that move with Will Levis there. Atlanta Falcons, no. Carolina Panthers, no. Saints, no. Bucks, no. Broncos, no. Kansas City, no. Raiders, no. Chargers, no. Cardinals, no. Rams, no. Niners, no. Seattle. Could he go to the Dallas Cowboys? Could he go to the Cowboys? Put that out there on Twitter. Yo, let's go. Let's see him on the Cowboys, man. I'm typing that out as we speak right now, an interactive show we are. Yo, he goes to the Cowboys? I'm enjoying that Thanksgiving game, no? Daniel Jones on the Cowboys battling? Up against Tommy Cutlets? Now, granted, he will clear waivers because nobody's picking up that contract. So that means he can go to whoever he wants to go to at this point. Man, that's interesting. He's a bad quarterback, but Cooper Rush is way worse than Daniel Jones. Way worse. Come on, man. He's way worse. Like, what? Well, I just went over every team in the NFL. Most people don't really have use for a not-so-good quarterback. But doesn't it make sense? Like, again, he's not going to the Jets. There's no way he goes to the Jets. The one team that actually makes sense is the Dallas Cowboys. Huh. How about that news today? And by the way, what they should have said here is the Giants are releasing Daniel Jones and also Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. They should have all three been in the same, you know, little taxi cab on their way out of town, Ubered to the airport, never to be sold again in New York. I'm telling you right now, give me Daniel Jones on the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll have some fun with that. We absolutely will. All right, let's get down to business. Daniel Jones is out. Any other hot topics that cross my desk, we'll get after. But Daniel Jones, if you're just tuning in, released. And as Dove Kleiman points out, once Daniel Jones clears waivers, he can sign with a new team starting Monday at 4 o'clock. He will be in high demand as a top-tier backup, which is really interesting because he's right about that. Like, Daniel Jones can actually help a team. And again, I'm not saying Daniel Jones is a bad quarterback, but Daniel Jones could be a very capable backup quarterback. As Bogdan's writing me here on Twitter, the Jets just for a blank and giggles. Yeah, you get it. You get it. You get it. That's good stuff. All right. Detroit, Indianapolis this Sunday. Now, granted, I'm going to read off the games that will be played this Sunday. And if you have to put up maybe Christmas lights early, if you're in the Northeast or, you know, really outside of anywhere like a hot area, how about this? You can go outside and get some things done. Bed Bath & Beyond, if it's still around in your neck of the woods, Home Depot, Lowe's, take the wife out, shopping, grocery shopping as well. You might be able to get that done this Sunday. It's a bad slate. I'm not saying we can't make money, but let me read you some of the games. Like Detroit, Indianapolis, I like that game. Should get some juice. Detroit's probably going to win. Anthony Richardson coming back after that two-game layoff. Looked great last week against the Jets. Let's see what happens. But we'll get into that game in a bit. Kansas City and Carolina, that game stinks out loud. But again, I just told you on the previous segment, Carolina's the worst defense in the NFL. Could we have a Mahomes game here that we're finally looking forward to? Maybe. Minnesota, Chicago, I have no interest in that game. Dallas and Washington, honestly, I told you there are two bad defenses. No interest in that football game. Tampa Bay, New York Giants, no real interest in that football game. But Mike Evans is coming back in that game. Tommy DeVito is the starting quarterback. So if we're talking about intriguing games, maybe there's a little bit there, but that's a horrible game overall. Horrible game. 5.5 point, 6 point number as a favorite towards Tampa Bay. New England and Miami. Like, that game has no juice. I'm trying to make that game juicy here. Drake May on the road? He should be able to put up some points against that Miami defense. Tua Tagovailoa? Looking good last week with my guy, Jonnu Smith, where I needed to get 20 yards. He ended up with 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know what I mean? Huh. What's up with that? Tennessee and Houston. You got to be kidding me. We're getting hyped up for a Tennessee Titans game with Will Levis? Stop it. Bad football game. Look at that. The 1 o'clock slate. What are you doing at 1 o'clock? Take your wife, take your girlfriend, take whoever out. Go to Red Robin. Go to Five Guys. Just don't eat the French fries at Five Guys. Get them at like McDonald's or somewhere else. Go out to a sports bar. Relax. Hang out. There's not must-see TV at 1 o'clock. Did you hear those games I just told you about? Let's get to 4 o'clock now. Denver and Las Vegas. Now, I told you, we can fade Las Vegas on defense. Is that a game that if you're like, hey, you know what? Sometimes you got to pick your battles. Like, I'm married, wife, kid. You get it. Sometimes I work Sunday. So I see. I'm not the common man at this point because I can always play the card of it's for work. I got to watch these games for work, which I do. It's my job. But if you're just normal, you know, Donnie 9-to-5 out there Monday through Friday and the wife and the kid and the girlfriend or whoever expects you to hang out with them, you can't sell that to them. Babe, Denver, Vegas is on. Can't do that. Unless you're a Denver Broncos fan or a Vegas Raiders fan, you can't sell that. Arizona, Seattle, little bit of juice, but that's like a top six game, top seven game on a normal card. Like, yeah, you could tune into Arizona and Seattle, but once again, playing the common man card, you can't sell that to your significant other here. You can't do that. San Francisco, Green Bay, supposed to be the marquee game. Do we even get Brock Purdy at quarterback? Do we get George Kittle? Where the hell you been, Deebo Samuel? Nick Bosa, you playing in this game? What are we doing? That's supposed to be your marquee game of the week, but finally, you get salvation. Sunday Night Football. Your team, your town, your legends, the Philadelphia Eagles, going up against the Rams. You got juice. Devontae Smith might be down in that game. And by the way, people, just listen to this. A.J. Brown's your guy in that game. Devontae hasn't practiced all week. He ain't right. He hasn't been right for weeks. That's your guy. Also, Puka Nacua on the opposite side. Stud. Cooper Kupp, stud. Quinyon Mitchell, stud. Cooper DeJean, stud. They got your back there. Let's dig into some of these games. Let's find some props here. Let's have fun, people. It's a Football Friday. It's your boy DRS. We'll be back right after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, I got it, people. I'm thinking things through over the break here. Hear me out on this one. Hear me out on this. Because we're all about pettiness at times. You know me. I love to be petty about things. I love to rip apart teams. I love to have hot takes out here in these streets. I'm telling you right now, I put out there, put them on the Dallas Cowboys. I think it actually makes the most sense. But hear me out on this one. You want to have fun if you're Daniel Jones? You know what? You're on a bad organization. Maybe you didn't get coached properly. Maybe you're just not that good. All those things can be correct here. But you know me. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Eagles sit at 8-2. There's a really good chance that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win the NFC East, maybe not be able to chase down, let's just say, the Detroit Lions for that number one overall seed. So you settle into whatever, you know, whatever slot you have, 2 seed, 3 seed, 4 seed. You get the point where I'm going here. Let me go over the Eagles schedule with you guys right here quickly. That's why this can be fun. They play the Rams on Sunday Night Football this weekend at LA. They then play the Baltimore Ravens to start out the month of December in Baltimore. They come home to take on the Panthers and the Steelers in back-to-back weeks on the 8th and the 15th. They then go on the road to take on the Commanders, which might be one of those games which will decide the NFC East. Let's just say they win that game. The Philadelphia Eagles then have back-to-back home games and probably still fighting maybe with Detroit, maybe just for stability on which line you're going to be, as I said, 2, 3, or 4, heading into the playoffs. Do you know who the Philadelphia Eagles play in the final week of the season? It's the New York Giants. It's in Philadelphia. Daniel Jones clears waivers, which he will. Nobody's picking up that contract. And he signs with the Philadelphia Eagles. Practice squad, whatever. All right, you know what? If you need me, I'll be here. Solid backup, athletic guy. I don't really think he's all that good, but boy, playing behind the Eagles offensive line, having Saquon Barkley back again and legitimate wide receivers, maybe he wakes up a little bit. But you want to talk about just massive pettiness? you start Daniel Jones in that final game of the season where he has a chance to beat the Giants, that would be hilarious. So we got options for Daniel Jones juice. I would love to see him on the Cowboys. If it's possible, which again, learning a new playbook that quickly, he's not going to play next Thursday, which is the shame of it. But if he would have went to the Dallas Cowboys and played Thanksgiving Day against the Giants, now that would be something I would really like to see. But if Daniel Jones actually wants to be super, super petty as well, go to the Philadelphia Eagles and play the Giants in Week 18 while the Eagles are getting ready for the playoffs. That would be absolutely hilarious. So there, set my piece on Daniel Jones. Let's get back to the action at hand this weekend, which I just ripped the card on Sunday for funability, if I can use that word. Sunday Night Football, very good game. Monday Night Football, sensational game. Sunday Football, not so hot. But there are ways that we can exploit this. Let's just take a look at game number one, Kansas City and Carolina. We're expecting a blowout on hand, which is what should take place. But if we're being honest, that's not really Kansas City's MO at this point now, winning by a ton of points. They're favored by double digits on the road with a total of 43.5. The Carolina Panthers, guys, they do nothing well. Nothing well at all. Check out the weather forecast down there in Carolina. 61 degrees, beautiful. Precipitation, zero. Wind speed, under 5 miles per hour. No excuses. By the way, Isaiah Pacheco is working out this week once again. We'll see if he has a legitimate chance to be activated in that one. Now let's look here and go down the list here. I'm just going to use FanDuel. Touchdown scores in this game. Look at Pacheco, minus 160. If he practices and is activated, he'll be reinserted back into that role. But if he's not, you know who's tied with him right now in the touchdown market in Carolina? It's Kareem Hunt at minus 160. Those two numbers will change based on who is starting. It's still up in the air if Pacheco even comes back. But if Pacheco's in there and there's a goal line chance, he's going to get those carries. Travis Kelce needs to wake back up. You can do it against Carolina. Plus 125 anytime touchdown market. DeAndre Hopkins at a plus 170. Let's flip over to some of the passer numbers in this game. Patrick Mahomes, only 233.5. The issue that comes into this, and you know as well as I do, can we get at least a running mate with Carolina? Because Patrick Mahomes could easily get 233.5. But if they don't need that, he's not going to go for that. Bryce Young, Justin Fields-esque at 170.5 yards. How about that? Passing touchdowns in this game. Bryce Young to throw one. This might be the lowest number I've seen here. To throw one touchdown pass is only a minus 152. Patrick Mahomes to throw two touchdowns over 1.5, basically, is minus 146. Receiving props, Xavier Worthy only 32.5. Kelce, 56.5. DeAndre Hopkins, 45.5. See what that's telling you here is we're not confident on what we're getting out of the Carolina Panthers offense. And we do know that we're not talking about the, you know, Patriots of a decade and a half ago with Randy Moss that just wanted to score 40 on you every single game, regardless of what the score was. Rushing props in this game. Again, no running back props listed here on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Mahomes and Bryce Young, that's it. Let me go to a site that's going to list all of them here. Let's see if we actually do have any popping up here. So let's go, that's receiving. Let me just take a look at the rushing props here from that game. I just want to see if maybe some other outlets are actually popping those up. It looks like Bryce is 10. By the way, Bryce is 10.5. Okay, it's 11.5 at FanDuel, 10.5 at Fanatics. But no, nothing popping up there. Actually, Chuba Hubbard is coming back at 50.5. Kareem Hunt at 72.5. Which again, thought process behind that is, if it's a big if, Isaiah Pacheco doesn't play there, that's something to keep an eye on. All right, let's keep moving down the list, but I will be focused on Kansas City on some of these perspectives. Good to see the weather conditions are going to cooperate with there, so it makes some sense. All right, other bad defenses. How about Washington going up against the Dallas Cowboys? Let me flip over to here to see what we have here, and we'll start to break this one down. 44.5 is the total in this game. Weather conditions in D.C. this weekend, partly cloudy, 55 degrees, no rain in the forecast, winds under 10 miles an hour. So good. We're clean in that football game. A perfect day. 10.5-point spread here for the Commanders. Touchdown props, Brian Robinson Jr. absolutely makes sense at minus 150. Rico Dowdle, plus 125. Get out of here, guys. Stinks. Jaden Daniels to run one in, plus 130. Yeah, not loving that. Austin Eckler plus 135. And if we're looking at passing props, 222.5 for Jaden Daniels. Cooper Rush, 212.5. Huh. Interesting stuff. Football Friday, Sports Grid Network. Info dropping all over the place. I'm Donnie Wrightside. I'll be right back after this short commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As you know, guys, I'm going to get down to business this weekend with some team total action. This afternoon, I'll be really digging in once we get those final practice reports on what makes a lot of sense and what doesn't. And of course, weather conditions make a lot of those differences, as it did last night. Game still went over the total, but crazy weather sort of downshift on some environments. A couple games we already looked at this weekend, not really too much issues. Bad defenses like the Washington Commanders. And I'm just looking at Bet365 right now as sort of a guiding point. 27.5 at a minus 125. Like, see, that doesn't really get into it. You know what I like to look at. Right around 23.5 to under, preferably under 20 points. And last week we stole the game with the Chicago Bears at 16.5. 17 is a great trigger point here. Like, bad defense for the Washington Commanders. For the Cowboys, see, 16.5. Do you think the Cowboys can get 16.5 points against Washington this week? I don't know. That team stinks so bad on offense. You don't want to sort of take those flyers. You want some opportunities. The Detroit Lions, 30.5 points at plus 100. Yes, they can do that. But again, you need to get into the 30s to cash in that team total. The Colts, over 20.5 points at minus 105. The Kansas City Chiefs, as you know, I do think they should be able to run Carolina up the flagpole. But can they get to 28 points, which essentially you're asking for four touchdowns out of the Chiefs they should be able to get? But what do you get out of the Panthers? The Panthers number, conversely, 13.5 at a minus 150. Two touchdowns out of the Panthers. Doesn't really sound enticing to me. The Chicago Bears, which we bet last week, you're almost looking at the same plane. 16.5 minus 125 last week. Chicago Bears 16.5 minus 135 this week against the Minnesota Vikings. On the opposite side, the Vikings, 20.5 points at minus 130. Am I saying I love these games? No. I'm just giving you guys an idea of what these team totals are looking like. I'm telling you, sneaky one this weekend, which the pricing is a little bit wacky right now. The New England Patriots, 16.5. It's minus 165. That's expensive. They should be able to get the 17 points against the Dolphins. Conversely, the Dolphins, you got to get the 27.5 at a minus 115 price. So nothing really sticking out immensely with price and also what you're going to get. I'm interested to see what you get out of Tommy Cutlets this weekend for the Giants, because the Buccaneers don't have a great defense. But do you trust the Giants to score 17 points? It can't really get any worse from what we saw with Daniel Jones per se, right? But is that something you say, hey, you know what? I've done this to myself before. Let's take a little bit of a leap here and it comes back. Like, you don't want to lean on the Giants this weekend. The Buccaneers, 23.5 at a minus 130. Giants defense is bad. You know, Mike Evans is back. But how much push are you getting from the Giants here as a running mate up at MetLife? The Tennessee Titans, 16.5 at a plus 110 price. Can they get the 17 against the Texans? And the Texans on the other side, 23.5 is a minus 150 price. Not loving stuff right now. And again, this is a product of an environment that we're looking at bad cards here across. The Denver Broncos, who again, this one makes some sense here now. 23.5 is a minus 125 price. So 24 points for the Broncos cashes that in against a really bad Raiders team that I know I was looking at. Somebody was in the chat box here looking at this game, going through it. We probably should get points in this game. Vegas should be able to throw the football, at least turn it over to help the points on the opposite side. Vegas, 16.5 at a minus 125 price. Probably more likely to lean on the Broncos, but again, still rookie quarterback on the road, but does make some sense. The Arizona Cardinals on the road against Seattle this weekend. 23.5 points at a minus 115. Now we're starting to make some sense here. Let me just get a quick glimpse of the weather conditions in Seattle, 425 this weekend. 47 degrees. Again, rain is in the forecast, no real winds, but a little bit of rain on turf with no wind, that's not bad. Seattle Seahawks in that game, 23.5 points, minus 115. So there you go. Identical numbers on team totals between the Cardinals and the Seahawks. San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. We don't even know what we're getting out of the 49ers in this game. No idea. Their number in this game? 20.5 points at minus 125. Okay, like Brock Purdy banged up shoulder. Kittle playing with a hamstring issue. Let's check some weather conditions in Green Bay for Sunday afternoon. 44 degrees, which isn't bad. No precipitation and light wind. So we're okay there in that aspect. The Green Bay Packers number, 23.5 at a minus 135 price against the Niners defense. We're going to know a lot about the 49ers after today's practice reports come out. Something to keep an eye on. Rams and the Eagles, Sunday night football. Expensive for the Eagles, minus 160 at 23.5. I don't mind that. I think the Eagles will put up points. The Rams going up again. Look, the Eagles got a great defense. They're 23.5 at minus 110. You got some football games to take a look at. Am I absolutely in love with this card right now? No. But I'm going to find numbers this afternoon and check some practice reports so we can cash in tickets. Follow me at RightsideVP on Twitter. It's the way to do it. You know, if I got tickets, I'm putting them out there. For Chris Behind the Wheels of Steel, your boy Donnie Rightside on a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you Monday on Moneyline.